2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. This is reading of God's word. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers from city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, precious time of hearing of your word. Let all of us truly realize and believe how desperately we need your word in order for us to be like Christ more and more. Oh, Father, we pray that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. That we may be able to witness Jesus Christ through our lives. Oh, Father, let us feed upon the true manna, your word, Jesus Christ, that we may grow. Grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to talk about sufferings. What's the purpose? What's the meaning of sufferings? This is a very important topic because the world does not understand the true meaning and purpose of suffering. And like the world, so many people who go to church, they don't understand. Sufferings, this is something that this sinful world hates. Period. Everybody hates suffering. Especially the sufferings when you are faithful to God and serving Him with all your heart. Even though you are faithful and doing everything you are able to serve Him, and yet you suffer. Why? People say. People who believe the works principle of salvation and blessing cannot accept this. Because if you believe in the works principle of salvation and blessing, as you do good works, you will be blessed with worldly blessing, which means less and less sufferings in this world. People whose faith are this world-centered, they will not accept this teaching. And just like the false teachers at the Corinthian church, to so many people, the sufferings, they are a stumbling block. even for some Christians. You know, this worldly attitude can be seen in the person, this wife of Job in Old Testament. You know, Job, Bible even says he's righteous. He did everything correctly. He did it for God. And yet, it was God who initiates the suffering that Job is, we see him receiving. All of his children dead, all of his wealth gone, and even his health completely gone. And his wife, in Job chapter 2 verse 9, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." That's what she says. Because to her, it just doesn't make any sense. Because Job was so faithful to God, and here's all these sufferings that he goes through. What's going on? Curse God and die. If that is kind of God that you're worshiping, then what's the point? This is the attitude of the world. And this is the attitude of some churchgoers too. They come to church so they could be blessed by God, so they could be wealthy and healthy, but even as they come to church and serve God and more sufferings, what's going on? They don't get it. They don't understand. See, sufferings to the world is a stumbling block. Especially the sufferings of righteous is a foolish talk for so many. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He has clearly taught us in the Bible that our life, the Christian life in this world, is a life of much sufferings. He cannot be any more clear telling us that our life as a Christian, life in this world, is a life of much sufferings. It's actually natural for a Christian to suffer. It is actually not natural for Christians not to suffer in this world. You know, I brought so many passages, so many verses, and thinking about how long it took last Korean worship, it's going to be pretty long because I'm just going to read to you Bible verses. This is really self-explanatory. And I don't expect you to open your Bibles every time I go to passage. Just listen to what God says and learn what is the purpose and meaning of our sufferings. Philippians 1:29, it says, For to you, Christians, it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. The purpose of your salvation, why you have been saved, is not just for you to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of your salvation. Now, obviously, you know, eternal purpose for our salvation is not that. We will live with God in that glorious place with so much joy. But while we are still here on earth, we're saved so that we may suffer for His sake. Clearly stated. John chapter 15 verse 18 through 20, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you, Jesus says. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Jesus says, if the world persecuted me, and they did, then the world will persecute you. Because we preach the same gospel that Jesus preached. John chapter 16 verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. God promises you, you will have tribulation in the world. Acts chapter 14 verse 22b, Bible says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. That's the method. Through many tribulations we must enter heaven. This is why the gospel is impossible for sinners of this world to accept. They don't want to hear this kind of stuff. So now churches, they change the gospel, make it into false gospel, so that even non-Christians will want to hear it. But listen to what the Bible says. And you know what? It is Satan who is the one who tempts us with this world. It is Satan who promises the wealth and health of this world. God never promised you wealth and health of this world. Only thing that God promised you is this, that don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. That's it. That he promised. But anything other than that, he did not promise anything of this world. But it's actually Satan. Because being healthy, being wealthy in this world means no suffering. At least, that's how the world has been deceived. Do you know the story of Satan tempting Jesus Christ? You could read about it in Matthew 4, but let me read to you from verse 8. Again, the devil took him, Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So, the Satan shows the world and its glory. The wealth and all that. And devil says to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Isn't that interesting? It is Satan who offers the world. And if church offers you the world, then what is going on? Matthew 27, this was when Jesus was dying on the cross. This is what we read from verse 39. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, waving their head and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others and he cannot save himself. He is the king of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The robbers who have been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. You say you are the Savior. Why are you dying on the cross? What is this suffering? Save yourself. You say you are the Savior. Come down from the cross. Cross, what is the meaning of cross? Suffering and death. Why, if you are the Savior, why are you dying? Why are you suffering? Come down. Then we will believe you. Same temptation from these people. Same temptation from Satan. Don't die on the cross. No suffering. I give you this kingdom. Come down from the cross. Go to Matthew 16. This is very, very clearly written. I want you to look at it as I read to you. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now Jesus telling his disciples, I'm going to be facing many, many sufferings and I will die. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke Jesus, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. I'm going to suffer. And Peter says, no, you're not. Why? You are the Messiah. Messiah who will save us from oppression of Roman soldiers, and you're gonna set up kingdom on this earth so that we may rule the whole universe. What do you mean you're gonna suffer and die? It will never happen to you. But God, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. To oppose the sufferings in this world is what Satan does. He will come and tempt you. What suffering? No suffering. And you listen to him. And you say, yeah, suffering, it doesn't make any sense. What? God blesses us. What do you mean suffering? Here, as soon as Peter opposed Jesus' suffering, Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. Did you know that we are called to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow Christ? What do you think that means, take up our crosses? What kind of life do you think it means when we take up our crosses? Philippians 3 verse 18 through 20. For many walk, of whom I oft often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of the cross. People who do not like suffering and wanting the opposite in this world becomes enemy of the cross. Because enemy of the cross is who? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. These are the enemy of the cross. To oppose the cross means to set one's mind on earthly things. You know, life of following Jesus is filled with many sufferings. That's why when Jesus was living here on earth, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, as they were going along the way, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You know, so many people follow Jesus thinking that following Jesus, they're going to be wealthy and healthy in this world. They're going to have a power to rule the world. So I will follow you, Jesus. I will follow you. And Jesus says, "Are you sure? I don't even have a place to lay my head. Today's language, I don't even own a house. I don't even have a place to sleep. Do you still want to follow me?" When you read the Bible, the New Testament, Old Testament is different because I told you so many times, in the Old Testament, heavenly things were expressed in earthly things. Read the Bible. You will see that from the very beginning, the Christians were persecuted a lot and went through all kinds of sufferings. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, "You also became imitator of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, "So that no one will be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this." We're destined for the afflictions. "For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know." We already told you how much you have to suffer for Christ. And now you are experiencing it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 9, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, or which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned." I could go on and on with this, but let's come to that question. Why then suffering? Why? What is the purpose? What is the meaning? First, you and I, Christians, suffering in this world, and some of you might think, what suffering? There's no suffering in your life because you don't witness yourself as a true Christian in this life. Maybe even your friends do not even know that you're Christians. Of course there will be no suffering. You start speaking like the Bible says, And I guarantee you, you will suffer. People will start to hate you. And that's beside the point. But the why suffering? Well, as we suffer here, it shows that, as we have already seen last week, that this world is not heaven. This world is not our home. We live here as strangers and aliens. We are just passing through. Because if this is heaven, then we will not suffer. And just the fact that Christians suffer, just the fact that Jesus Christ suffered, it shows that this world is not heaven. We are called to participate in the very life of Jesus Christ. And the life of Jesus Christ was a life of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be surprised when you suffer, when there's trial coming in your way, as if something strange thing is happening. No, it's natural. Don't be surprised. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, you rejoice. We are called to participate in the sufferings of Christ. It is our honor to participate in the sufferings of Christ, to imitate Christ, to be like Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 1 verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. How glorious. Sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. Revelation chapter 11, you see two witnesses. They represent the church. And this is what we read about these two witnesses in chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, because church, two witnesses, we have testimony, the gospel. The beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. The beast kills these two witnesses. Two witnesses. They represent the church. And their body, their dead body, these two witnesses, will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. These two witnesses, which represent the church, they die. But they die at the same place where Jesus died. Do you understand the symbolism? The whole church is called to live the very life of Christ. And it is our honor to live the very life of Jesus Christ. Like Jesus, the church will die. Do you see how the true church is dying even today? Because in order for us to be true church, there's so much opposition in this world. You cannot succeed with this kind of preaching. You gotta teach. You gotta say, you will be wealthy and healthy. Then you're gonna be a big church. The true church dies. Just like Jesus Christ. Man, it's so glorious. The plan of God is so amazing. That somehow, through grace of God, that all of us, His church, When people will see the true church, they will see the life of Christ. The Satan, when he killed Jesus on that cross, he thought he has won. He thought he had victory. Then Jesus resurrects from the dead. Just like it, though, Satan in this world, which God allowed him to take control, will kill the church, and he will think once again that he has triumphed. As soon as church dies, that's when Jesus returns and the whole church will resurrect. That is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the symbolism here? I don't know about you, but man, this is glorious. That just think that as a church we could embody even little that is similar to Christ. Why suffering? To participate in the sufferings of Christ. He's giving us honor to live the very life that belongs to Christ. And we are called to imitate Jesus Christ. We are called to be like Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter. This is a very important passage. I want you to really pay attention here. 1 Peter, chapter 2. And read it very carefully here and see how it is completely opposite of what the world says. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly." Today, even Christians, they speak of their rights. You have to go out and seek your rights. Especially when you're unjustly suffered. No, you're not going to let that go. You got to go seek your rights. This is what the world says. And this is what even when some, you know, so-called Christians say. But God says, even if you suffer unjustly, bear it. But bear it with a conscience toward God. You bear it thinking, believing that God is giving you opportunity to be like Christ, to imitate Christ, because Jesus was suffered unjustly throughout and throughout. He was suffered unjustly. And when you have that kind of understanding and you bear that suffering, even when it comes as unjustly, you bear with the conscience toward God, and wanting to be like Christ, it will glorify God. God actually is pleased with it. But no, who listens to this kind of thing these days? I mean, come on, seriously. But read the Bible. This is what God says. See, there are only two kinds of people. Whether you accept what the Bible says or you reject what the Bible says. That's it. And you keep go down. Verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. What purpose? Suffer unjustly and bear it with joy. You have called. You have been called for this purpose. Why? Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judged righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. You are called for this purpose. Even suffer unjustly. Why? Since Christ did the same. He lived his life that way. When he was being captured and people wanted to kill him, he did not fight back. You know, this sounds really dumb and stupid, doesn't it? Yes, I kept telling you the gospel is foolishness to the world. Of course it sounds dumb and stupid. But that is the gospel. Because for you, this world is nothing to you. Because your eternal life is in heaven, not this world. Romans 8:36 says, just as it is written, for your sake, for God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is how Paul describes our lives. It's like we are taken to the slaughterhouse and that's our life. But if you go to Isaiah 53, it talks about the Messiah who will come. It says, for Messiah, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. You know, this is the description of Jesus Christ. You know, who draws that beautiful looking surfer Jesus? You know that picture I'm talking about, right? The Jesus with blue eyes and the blonde hair, that Jesus, that fake Jesus that you see on the wall sometimes. Beautiful Jesus. Is that what Bible says? He was so ugly, people will turn their eyes from him. There's no attraction. See, when you see a beautiful girl or beautiful guy, you know, movie star, you look because they're beautiful. But Jesus, it says, there's no attraction. Nobody wants to see his face. And it continues the description of Jesus. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrow he carried, yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. A chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us had turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is to led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers. So he did not open his mouth. Whoa! Amazing. Do you remember Paul described Christians? Like the sheep that is taken to the slaughterhouse? And here's description of the Messiah. The same description. Do you understand? He lived his life like a sheep taken to the slaughterhouse. That is the purpose. To share in the sufferings of Christ, to imitate Christ, to live the very life of Jesus Christ. And if you are truly Christian, it will be an honor for you to do so. You know, even in worldly level, if some cause is worthy, they will die for it. They don't mind sufferings. They will actually go to jail if they believe the cause is important. How about Christ? Is he important to you? Is it your honor to suffer for him and his cause? Why suffering? To make us perfect, lacking in nothing. Go to James chapter 1. This is also important. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, I have to admit that many, many years back, this kind of verse gave me so much problems. I mean, consider it pure joy when suffering comes. I said to myself, what is this? How can I consider it pure joy when suffering comes? Who does that? Well, I now understand. Because I do understand what the purpose and meaning of the sufferings of Christ and sufferings of Christians. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing why does those trials, those sufferings come? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is why. So that you may be complete, lacking in nothing. And yes, in the worldly sense, this doesn't make sense. You suffer and you are complete and lacking anything. Because in the world, if you suffer, you are lacking all kinds of things. I keep telling you, heaven and this world is completely opposite. But this is also a call to be like Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, for it was fitting for him, Jesus, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. To perfect Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation. To perfect him, perfect the author through suffering. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus, when he was here, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Listen very carefully. Although Jesus, he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus learned and made perfect through sufferings. And how else God's going to make us perfect, if not through the same way? And why suffering? It is our Father's love for us. It's His expression of love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to your sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom He loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not true son. Furthermore, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of the Spirit and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seems best to them, but God disciplines us for our good so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Do you understand? God disciplines those whom He loves. You know, there are some Christians who brag about, you know, my life was without any hard times. God really loves me. According to this verse, he got it wrong. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. And if your life is without any difficult time, maybe God doesn't love you. Without disciplining, he says, then that person is an illegitimate son, not true son. Exactly in the world, same thing. I discipline my kids because they are my kids. I love them. But I don't discipline other people's kids. I don't really care. Why suffering? God loves you. Hebrews chapter 11. Sufferings are blessings for us. It is our true wealth. Hebrews 11:25. Moses choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for a reward. Do you do that? Do you consider your sufferings greater treasure than all the treasures of this world? Do you know the truth? Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 17, because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. You know, this church says, I'm wealthy, I'm rich, all that, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. You know this phrase, gold refined by fire. The fire will get rid of all the, not the pure gold, but get rid of all the residues that might be in the gold. So refiners will do that. To have a pure gold. So that fire, it's a picture of suffering. And this is what God does. He's trying to make you perfect. So getting rid of all the, you know, this worldly residues so that you will come out to be a pure gold. He says, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Buy from me suffering so that you may actually be rich. I hope I'm not preaching to the wall. Because if I preach this to out there in the world, then I am preaching to the wall. Nobody will listen. Matthew 5 verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. But see, reward in heaven is great, not your reward in this world is great. Thus, do you understand, brothers, why suffering? The sufferings are now our joy. We welcome suffering with joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction. In all our affliction, I'm overflowing with joy. Chapter 8, verse 2. In a great ordeal of affliction, there's abundance of joy. Chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties for the Christ's sake. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10a, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Here's Paul desiring to find out more about the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. Is that what you do? You seek out so that you might have more opportunities to participate in the sufferings of Christ. Is that what you do? Acts chapter 5, verse 41. This is an awesome verse. I often think of this verse. Disciples, because they preached Christ, they were captured and they were put it into prison, but they were, after many lashes of whips and hitting, they were let out. And this is what we read. Right after they come out of prison, they say, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. After beating, they were rejoicing. Why? God considers them worthy to suffer for Christ. Do you understand? This is our joy. Second Thessalonians verse 1 chapter 5, this is plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering, that you will be considered worthy of Christ, worthy of heaven, and for that heaven indeed you are suffering. As you suffer for Christ, God considers you worthy to suffer for Christ. The issue is it also worthy to you? Job 42 verse 5, after all that suffering, Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Before suffering, I just heard you, but after suffering, now I see you. It's a blessing from God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 through 14. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. As we see Jesus suffering outside the gate, dying on the cross, suffering, let us go out to him. Let us do the same. Why? Because this world is passing. We're not looking to settle down in this world, but we are looking the world that is to come, our eternal home, heaven. Man, if you want to have any message on your t-shirt, man, you should have this. But no, don't do that. If you have to, you know, show your religion on your shirt, there's something wrong. Because that's not how you show your religion. You live your religion. Okay. Now, even though it's late, I cannot end here because then, you know, some of you might be discouraged. You learn what is the meaning and what is the purpose, and it's all good. But you're still, you know, not ready to face sufferings. Suffering is difficult. It's hard. I know. I'm just like you. So I cannot end here. I need to tell you then, okay, God promises sufferings in our life. And if we are, you know, good Christian, more suffering will come and more honor it will be to us. Okay, that's good. And we, in one little corner of our heart, we actually want to suffer for Christ, but the bigger part says no. But we find at least a little bit in there. Okay, that's good. And like he promised, suffering will come. If you live as a Christian, true Christian, suffering will come. Then how can we endure this with joy? We got to know the method of overcoming this. Well, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now that phrase, for the joy that was set before him, for that he endured the cross. Now, he was able to endure the cross. You know, cross is suffering and death. He was able to endure that for the joy that was set before him. Now, when Jesus was dying on the cross, what was the joy that was set before him? If not the joy of heaven. That he understood that through what he was doing, that his people will be saved and he will be with them in that heavenly place and have a wonderful life together forever and ever. For that joy, he endured the cross. That's the way to endure your suffering. The joy of heaven. If Jesus did it this way, then you must do it this way. There's no other way. Ooh, I reached the last page. Good. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, look to Jesus and look to your eternal home, the reality of heaven. How you are going to be forever and ever, and how you are already spiritually because of what Jesus has done. That faith will cause you to endure it. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that sufferings in this world is not forever. It's only while you are in this world. And you know, 80 years, 90 years in this world compared to eternity is not even, man, compared to eternity, it's very, very short. It's like a second. You endure a second and eternally you will rejoice. In heaven, brothers and sisters, there is no sufferings. Revelation 7 verse 17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to spring of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 21 verse 4, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. There will be a day, brothers and sisters, your Lord, your Savior, your God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And that day, you will know all your sufferings was worth it. That day is coming, brothers and sisters. Let me just read to you one verse and I'm done. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him, for I consider that the sufferings of this world, sufferings of present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Do you understand? All the sufferings that you might go through here is not worthy even to compare with the glory that you have in Christ now and forever. Rejoice. Even when you suffer, endure with joy. God loves you, and God is causing you to be like Christ. God is causing you to participate in His life, imitate Him, and He wants to make you perfect, lacking nothing. And He loves you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. Oh Father, we must confess that even as we contemplate on suffering for You, we are scared. There's a fear in us. But Father, continue to teach us Your ways, Your will, and continue to cause our faith to grow, that we may understand the true purpose, true meaning of our suffering, so that we may gladly, joyfully endure it for Your glory. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.